Isn't that Psalms 116? You know, I will love the Lord. Isn't that so awesome? She wrote it. I mean, you know, David wrote the song, but she put music to it. I wonder if maybe he some way translated how he would have sang it, but is that the most beautiful, the words? I was going to see if I could find it. Do you know what translation do you use? Okay, I'm just going to look at it here. Anyway, whew. Praise and worship is so good. I, you know, we come to church. It's just so great to come and love on the Lord. You know, and the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And it's not, it's for our benefit that we come together. It's for our benefit that we come and gather to separate time apart to worship God and to just be single-minded about Him. And, you know, I know everybody likes something different. You know, some people come because they really like the Word, and some people come because they really like the worship. But for whatever reason, when you come into the house of the Lord, you're being planted here. And the Bible says that those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the house of their God. And so, because you're faithful to come on Wednesdays and whenever the doors open, Sundays and whatever opportunity you have, then you're going to flourish in whatever you do. And I was asking the Lord this week about, you know, some of the reasons why we do come to church. And the Bible says that we come to be equipped. And so I was thinking about being equipped and being equipped to do the work of the ministry. And so when we come in here, we all have our armor on, right? Ephesians 6, we all have armor on, and all of the armor is defensive except for one piece, right? That's your sword. And so we come in, and I feel like when we come in here to get equipped, some of us have a lot of, you know, some of us are equipped, some of us have our swords and they're sharp and whatever, and sometimes maybe you just need to polish up your shield of faith, or, you know, maybe it's just a polishing up on something. But the bottom line is, if you come to church with your heart open to receive from Jesus, He is going to speak something to you. And anyway, one of the things that I was, let me see if I can find that. When we sing this, I don't even know if I can do it. God is so awesome. And when we sing that part about how He set me free, I just want you to know, 28 years ago, I know that there was a prayer chain praying for me. I know that there were people praying for me, and it was my mom, and she orchestrated prayer meetings and all this kind of stuff and Bible studies and stuff like that because these mamas were praying for their kids. The Lord told me, He said, you be who you are. And there's this little saying that I heard a while back, and I was sharing it with Laura. It says, be who you are. Those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind. So those who matter to me don't mind that I'm, but Jesus told me, He said, you be yourself. And so, when I was thinking about, this, whenever Jesus found me, I was like Lazarus, except it was just, I was just encompassed with chains. I was totally like Lazarus. When Jesus said, come forth, you know how Lazarus had to come forth out of the tomb? Because he was wrapped up. Because Jesus told him, unwrap him. He's like coming out, right? That's how I felt, except mine were chains. And I had, I mean, I got saved at a very, I mean, I would say I was, I mean, I feel like I asked Jesus into my heart when I was 12 years old in the Baptist church, but my lifestyle, no one would have ever guessed that she was a Christian. I didn't live a lifestyle that was becoming or that reflected Jesus in any way. But after all these prayers, and walking into a Bible study that my mom was having at her house, I was newly married, 6 months, and some of you may have already heard this testimony, but I feel like just to go into what I'm going to share tonight, and honey, you give me like my, when I got 5 minutes left, you know, like let me just go for about 30 minutes to just say, just give me the five fingers. Anyway, I walked into this Bible study that my mom was having, and I just hightailed it to the bathroom. And to get to the bathroom, you have to walk past the table where they're all sitting. So I'm just like being polite, hello ladies, you know, zip into the bathroom. And so I go in there and, you know, I'm just getting my, fixing myself, whatever. Probably needed to talk to my mom. Didn't realize, you know, that it was the prayer, you know, Wednesdays with the Lord is what she called it. So I came out, and they had already started the Bible study, and there was something that they were talking about, the love of God, that intrigued me. And so I kind of slipped into the other room, and I was kind of listening to this. I was like, okay, I got to get out of here. I was so feeling the squeezing of God. I was feeling him squeezing me. He was loving me because he doesn't want to leave me in the place where I was at. Isn't that awesome that he never wants to leave us where he found us? So anyway, it's all kind of like a swirling thing to me right now when I think about it, but I just want you to know, I mean, I was a basket case. And Jesus got a hold of me, and he changed me. And when I read this, I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my supplications. He has inclined his ear unto me. Therefore, I will call upon his name as long as I live. And I don't know what your experiences was with the Lord when you came to know him, but I can't. This is not what I had intended to do, but it says the Lord preserves the simple, and the simple, it says, silly, foolish, and simple. And I was silly, and I was foolish. And when you, who was here Sunday morning when Dwayne talked about wives and husbands and all that? So he truly does. Every time he meets a couple that's fixing to get married, he says, I've got two pieces of advice. Well, actually, three pieces of advice, but we're not giving the third. The first piece of advice that he gives is all women are crazy. And we had this conversation with Robin and Laura around the table. We're talking about this. And I said, well, excuse me, all men are idiots. And they're like, granted. So we had agreement. Well, the reason why my husband says that is because he married a crazy woman. No kidding. I mean, I'm crazy now and I still crazy things, but oh my God, I was so crazy. I mean, he would walk into the house and I would just be a basket case. I'd just be bawling. I would just be crying. He'd be like, what's wrong? And I was one of those that you don't talk. You clean, you get radical, you just don't talk. You just do stuff, right? Have any of you relate to that? Any of you women? No. How many of you are talkers in here? You'll want to talk it out. One, two, three. Oh, good. Four, five. Good. Wow. So Dwayne's learned over the last 29 years, he's got to get me to talk. He's got to make me talk it out. Because I wouldn't. I just clam up and I stay the ice queen until I thaw out. And pretty much what it is, it's like the Lord saying, Miss, why does it always have to be about you? Or whatever conversation I have with the Lord. And then, of course, I have to thaw out and go and repent, and we make things better. But the bottom line is when you go into something like this knowing that there's things that have to be worked out, and he knows that I'm crazy, it just says pick the crazy that you can live with. That's what we told our sons. Honey, you know, they'll come and just be like, oh, my God, this girl is just like, And Dwayne would say, son, all women are crazy. Pick the crazy you can live with. And, you know, really, it's the truth. We've talked to couples, and we know that that's pretty much the thing. But what happened to me when I got saved, I was simple, I was silly, I was foolish, and God, I read a little book that was called, it was Barbara Arbo's little book about the word. It either says, the word will not return void, or I'm watching on my word to perform it, or something to this effect. And so I started reading it. And what it was she had made this little book, and she had taken scriptures and put them into prayer form so that you could actually pray the word. Well, you know, this was so new to me because to me, you know, my prayer was, help me. I mean, that's it. You know, I mean, that he heard my, is that what it says? He heard my cry. And so that's how it was. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. So what happened was God, through the situation that we were in with Dwayne joining the military, Chad, my youngest son, was 4 months old, and God basically uprooted me out of everything that I knew here in Utopia and took us to Kentucky. Dwayne and Tracy and Chad. From everything that I knew to this little town in Fort Knox, Kentucky. So, it was there that God taught me. Let's go and read that story. You know, the story about Emmaus. I just love that story. It's in Luke 24. And the reason why I like to go here is because we know the story. Luke 24, verse 13 is where it starts. And it's the day when these the two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, which is about 7 miles away. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had occurred. And while they were conversing and discussing this, Jesus himself caught up with them and was already accompanying them. Okay, I'm reading in the Amplified. I probably want to just make that a little less amplified. Let's see. Okay. Because I just want to get to this part. It says, verse 16, but their eyes were restrained. Their eyes were restrained. It's like they could not see who he was. And one translation says that God restrained their eyes. And he said to them, what conversation is it that you're having with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to him, what things? So they said to him, so they told him this whole story, okay? The whole thing and what they were hoping for. And let's see. Just look at verse 27, because I know you know the story about this whole conversation with Jesus, right? It says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus didn't want them looking at him. He wanted them looking at the word. He wanted them to see him in the word so that when he was gone, guess where they could find him? You know, and people just take it so lightly, you know, that they have 5 or 10 Bibles in their household. And there's countries that have to smuggle them in, and they have them like pages. And they hold on to them like their blood. You know, like it's the only life source that they have. And we, because of our freedoms, we just really take it for granted. But because of this, I was just thinking about the word of God and how significant it is in our lives. And you know, Jesus said, or, you know, the word says that, I guess it was David, whoever wrote Psalms 119, he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your word is. And when we go back and we think about the word being a light for us, it's the word of God is Jesus. It's Jesus. It's not reading the word to get more knowledge. It's not reading the word to know the do's and the don'ts. You know, when you go back and you look at the beginning in the garden with Adam and Eve, I noticed that in that story when God was talking to Adam, he gave the instruction to Adam that of all the trees in the garden, you can eat all of them except for one. Eve, when I went back and looked at it, she wasn't formed yet. Okay, so who did she hear the information from? Adam. But do you remember the story that Duane told about Abraham and Sarah? And Abraham heard the promise from God. Abraham visited with God. God told him that he and Sarah were going to be fathers of many nations, that they were going to have a baby, even though that they were barren. But it wasn't until Sarah heard the angel of the Lord outside her tent, until she heard God say, that it became a revelation on the inside of her. And 9 months later, or he said, at this time next year, you're going to have a baby. And it happened. So when God said, you can eat of all the trees except for this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I want you to eat from the tree of life. That's not one of the trees that I've said you can't eat from. He said, I want you to eat from that tree. And the Bible says in John that Jesus is the life. And I believe that Jesus was the tree of life. But that if they had not been banished out of the garden, and then they were able to eat from the tree of life, that they would live forever separated from God. And God couldn't bear that. The thing about the word is that, well, it's living. The word Hebrews 4 says it's living and it's active and it's powerful and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And that's that sword that we have. And so when you come to church, you're being equipped. It says we are being equipped for the work of the ministry. So as soon as you step out those doors, ministry starts. And so that's why it's so important to get the word sown in your heart. So whoever's up here, whoever's sowing the word, I mean, you can even be sitting across the table with a friend and sharing the word with them. And guess what's happening? You're being equipped. You're being equipped for the work of the ministry. In fact, you're going to be leaving illuminated. I mean, when the God says, when you guys are talking about me in Malachi, it says, I'm writing it down. Did you know that? Did you know that? Look at Malachi real quick. It's the very last book, and I'm pretty sure. Yep, it's Malachi 3, verse 16. So that journey that I started 28 years ago in Kentucky was I had this little booklet, and I decided I'm going to start memorizing scripture and try to learn how to pray it. And so for 28 years, what I have done is just, I mean, the word of God is what has caused those chains to break off. I mean, when we talk about the freedom and those freedom songs, all the chains are broken and I've been set free. Every word you've spoken is watching over me. That is so real to me. That song is so real to me because his word is watching over me. Every promise that he's ever spoken, I don't have to worry about making it come to pass. He said in Jeremiah 1 and 12, I'm watching over my word to perform it. So how is he watching over it? It's got to come out somehow, right? Okay, Malachi 3, verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. So anytime it says, they spoke to one another. Anytime you're speaking to one another, guess what? God's listening in, and he's not just listening in, he's making a book of remembrance about it. That's how significant it is to God. It would be like you listening to your kids, you know, especially when they're little, some of the things that they come up with and some of the things that they say. I mean, even Trenton right now, 13 months old, he's starting to make these weird syllable things. I mean, he just starts, and I just want to write it down. I want to remember. It's like when you were 13 months old, you started wanting to, he wants to talk so bad. And he's just a little chatterbox. And I had him all day today, and he's just going around going, okay, across his forehead, the word is G-O. G-O. Go. And across my forehead is spoiler. And across his forehead is where you want to go. Because Trenton gets in Papa's arm, and he points and leans. This is what he does. Points and leans. And so we just go the direction of the point, you know? So we have this conversation with the parents, because they're like, man, you guys just, you just do anything he wants. I'm like, yeah, spoiler. You know, I had the discipline across my forehead for 20 years or however long, you know, you get to discipline your kids. And I said, guess what's written across your forehead, honey, to my son? Discipline. And guess what's written across mommy's head? Discipline. Spanker. I said, but that's, I don't have that on my forehead anymore. So anyway, you know, it's just whatever. So he points and he's talking about the picture. We've got this picture, three pictures of a really beautiful mule deer and a really beautiful buck. And so he looks at it and he goes, this is it. And I'm like, that's, you know, we want to make sure we get it right, because Papaw's going to, you know, he's going to make sure we get it right. That's a mule deer buck. We got to say buck. And so he just is trying to say these, all these little syllables are coming out of his mouth, so it's going to be hilarious. But, you know, my point is that I want to jot these things down so, you know, when he gets older, I'll be able to say, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's a remembrance. And so we're talking about God. When you and I are talking about God, he's listening in. He hears our conversation. You know, and I think just our mentality in the, you know, the Bible says that in Romans, it says that they did not retain God in their knowledge. They didn't retain him. In other words, he was there, but they chose not to retain him in their knowledge. You know, the Bible says that we're all born with this knowledge, with a knowing that there is God. But it says that they did not retain him in their knowledge. And he said, let's look at, I think Ephesians 4:12, that's where it talks about equipping, but I think it also says, okay, why aren't you working? I think right below that, Ephesians 4, search. Okay, so it says, so this is just talking about, you know, that it's about the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So the purpose is that we come to the knowledge of the Son of God, who is Jesus. And so what God wants us to do is to retain the knowledge of Jesus in our hearts. And that when we go out to do the work of the ministry, the good news of the gospel is what Jesus did. So my whole point in all of this is that when you begin to know the word, and Jesus told those disciples, I'm going to show you in my word. I'm going to show you myself here. It's for us to find Jesus. People don't need to know the do's and the don'ts. They already know that. What they need to know is the knowledge of Jesus and what Jesus did for us. And one of the curious thing that I was having a conversation with some girls that were, let's see, how old are our kids? Our girls are 26. They were somewhere around that. They weren't from here, but they were from another town. And I was sitting listening to a conversation, and it was about this generation has this mentality that, well, for Pete's sakes, we're in the 21st century. This is 2013. It's okay for people to live together. It's okay for people to live together. And I mean, I think these girls were Christians. So this is I think you said this, but it says, once we become a Christian, you give up your right to have an opinion. You give up your right to have an opinion, Because if it doesn't line up with this, it's wrong. Right? So we try to justify it saying, for Pete's sakes, people, we're in the 21st century. Come on, lighten up. It's not so bad. They don't retain a knowledge of God in their hearts. And so that's when our prayers come in, because that's what happened with me. Your prayers avail much. Not lecturing, not pointing fingers, not chewing people up and down, not saying, don't, do. This is what's going to win people over. They will know you are Christians by your love. And it's going to be speaking the truth in love. In fact, I think he even says it here. Yes, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined it together by what every joint supplies. So it's being able to relate to somebody and be able to have that loving word into their hearts about what Jesus did. Right? And what did Jesus do? Jesus bore all the wrath that we were due. He bore all the wrath that, you know, and even I heard somebody say something in, I can't remember where we were at, some function, and it was about all the hurricanes and all this kind of stuff that's happening. And, you know, and the Bible says that in the last days, you're going to see, there's going to be tribulation. You're going to see earthquakes in diverse places, and you're going to see all this stuff. And I mean, really weird stuff has been happening. I mean, they had a snow tsunami in, where was that? I mean, where was it? New York? Anyway, craziness. No, it was like snow that just poured like a tsunami over towns and people. It's just like, it's just craziness. That it's just stuff like that's going to happen. But people want to point a finger and blame God. God's mad. God's doing this. God's punishing you. But that's wrong. And the work of the ministry for us is to go and tell people what Jesus did. Jesus, when he did this, he bore all the wrath of God. Now, do we live in a fallen world? Stuff's going to happen. Jesus said it was going to happen. Paul said it was going to happen. Peter said it was going to happen. I mean, it's all through the Bible. Stuff's going to happen, but be of good cheer. Guess what? We're just going to step on over. This is just like a holding place for us. We're just pilgrims passing through. It's for a short period of time. I mean, the Bible says that our lives are like a breath. They're like a vapor. It's like a poof, and then we're going to step over. And even Skip said in Sunday school, he's like, you know, we don't have a mentality of, well, some of you may, being able to step into heaven. You know, being able to know that you haven't lost anybody. You know, if they were a believer, that they're not lost. They just got to step into glory before we did. Dang it, you know? It's like, no. I planned it all out with the Lord, you know, like with my parents, and everybody's like, no, Lord, you just come on and just get us all at the same time. Come on, Lord, I know the rapture's close, please. I mean, look at the world, right? You want to hold everybody's hands, and you're like, okay, we're all going together. We're all going in this first, you know, thing. I mean, that's what I really want. That's what I really want to do. 2 Timothy, just talking about the word, I was going to go in a little bit different direction, but these scriptures keep popping into my heart, so I'm just going to be who I am. Let the Lord just minister to you for a second. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. All scripture is profitable to us. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. It just means that it is God-breathed. God breathed His word. And you know, it's just life-changing. The word of God will change your life, but you have to apply it. You have to say it. Speaking of saying it, look at Psalms 103, and you should just write this down. You should just know that this is what is going on every time you utter the word of God out of your mouth. It just makes me so excited. Psalms 103 is so amazing. The whole thing is just fantastic. It's a lot like Psalms 116, but let's look at verse 20. It says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word. You heeding the voice of his word, bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure." My point is that his angels excel in strength. So we've got angels who are strong, right? Who do his word. Heeding the voice of his word. Now, how is an angel going to heed the voice of God's word? They're not reading the word. What are they waiting for? They're waiting for you to be the voice of his word. And then the angels say, "Phew," and they're going to start bringing the word of God to pass. I just want you to know, I'm a trophy of grace. I'm a living example of the word of God working in my life. And have I arrived? By no means. But that's what's so beautiful about the word of God. I have read the story about Emmaus. I can't even tell you how many times I've read that story about the walk to Emmaus. And every time I read it, I see something different. And so that's what I'm so excited about, is I know that when, you know, pastor calls me and he says, "I would like for you to preach Wednesday night." At first, I just do a big, like, hold my breath and think, "Oh my gosh, okay, I don't know what I'm going to say." But as soon as I release it and know that it's not me, you know, you just know that God's put something on the inside of you and you just make yourself available. I mean, even when we were standing back there, all of these things were popping into my brain. It's like, oh my gosh, yes, jot, 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 jot. It's like, I mean, he does it. And that's what makes it so fun and so joyful. It's like 30 minutes can go by and I'm like, okay, wow, I got through 5 of the 20 scriptures that I had written down. Anyway, my encouragement to you tonight is that you will retain the knowledge of Jesus in your heart and know that his plan for your life is good, that his future for you is bright, and that if you'll use his word, he'll illuminate your path. And it's not like it's just like, just when you read the word and you live out your day, God just orders your steps. And you may say, this is not really the direction I was planning on going. But you just, if you know in your heart and in your mind, God will give you peace about it, and he'll just show you his plan in it. Just don't resist him. Amen. Father, I thank you so much for your word. You're so awesome. And I thank you for your word that set me free and that is setting me free continually. I thank you that it is living, that it's not the past, it's not even the present, that it is continually working in our lives, that you are continually working in our lives to willing to do your good pleasure. I just praise you and I thank you for it. I thank you for this amazing group of ministers, Lord, that are going to go out and just do what you've called them to do, Lord, with the people that you've put them around in their arena, Lord, of influence. I just thank you that you give them words fitly spoken in due season to every person, Lord, words of grace, words about the gospel of Jesus and what you did, Lord. I just thank you for them and just thank you for safe paths for them where they're going home, and just blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, honey, you want to come?